Welcome to this podcast. I'm here with Betsy Lytle-Smith, Chief Enthusiast Officer of Virtues Training. I'm your host, Kimberly Parker. Hi, Betsy.
Hi, Kimberly.
It's so good to have you here today.
Thanks so much.
Betsy, you mentioned that you have 5 ways to enrich your marriage. I'd love to hear about them.
Well, I am really excited to share 5 really practical strategies and ways that we have used in our marriage of over 49 years. I've been married to my husband, Pete, for 49 years, and I sure wish I knew some of these tips when we first got married. A lot of them are around communication, and I know that can be a challenge in marriage. It certainly was for us. I remember many years ago when we first got married, I would sit and cry every night, not because of Pete, but because of our external circumstances. We were living with his parents, and I didn't know how to communicate what I was thinking or feeling. So I would cry every night, and of course, he didn't know what to do about it because we didn't talk about it. We didn't have the language, really, to talk about what we were feeling or how to resolve any of those differences. So when we learned about these 5 practical ways of the Virtues Project around communication, it's been really helpful for us. So I thought maybe some others would enjoy hearing about some of these tips for having an enriched marriage. So The first one is called speaking the language of virtues. And you know, we all have virtues that we have as character traits or qualities of the heart, things such as love and patience and kindness and caring, peacefulness. And it's really helpful to look for those strengths in our partners. So I can remember when I first met Pete, you know, some of those qualities really stuck out for me, and they were his patience, his gentleness, and his confidence. And I thought, wow, this is good. And he was interesting and intelligent. And so I was really attracted to him. And then when I learned more about virtues, I realized that these are really our inner qualities. And these are the things that are our essence, our real essence. So how can we acknowledge our partners for the virtues we see within them? One of the ways we can do that is to really look for those qualities. You know, I remember a few years ago, I was looking for a red car. I wanted to buy a red car. And I, you know, had been driving around a lot, and I hadn't noticed any red cars. But as soon as I started saying, oh, I want a red car, I started noticing all these red cars on the road. And I think the same thing is true for virtues. You know, if we're looking for the good qualities of our partner, we find them. They're there. There's so many of them that we can identify those virtues and say something about how we see them, which is really helpful to speak it out loud. So, for instance, I might say, Pete, I really want to acknowledge you for your steadfastness in the way you have supported me throughout our marriage. So I picked a virtue of steadfastness and said how I saw it. So what I'm doing is really seeing something that he is giving to me. This is a gift to me that his steadfastness has brought to me. So that's one of the tips that I have for others that has really strengthened our marriage.
So you call that speaking the language of the virtues?
Yes, it's really looking for the positive qualities that our partners have and saying it, speaking it out loud. I mean, we may think these things, but sometimes we don't say them out loud. So for instance, you know, I might say, thanks, Pete, for doing that for me. Okay, that's a pretty generic kind of thank you. But if I said, thank you for your helpfulness in always, you know, helping me get my workshop materials together. So it's a specific way of acknowledging for a virtue that I see in him and saying how I saw it specifically.
When we were talking before this interview began, you talked about the process of consultation. And can you talk more about that?
Yeah, I think that is a really wonderful tool that we've learned over the years to actually consult with each other. What a concept. Before taking action. Now, of course, not always. But with decisions that are made that affect both of us, it's so helpful to consult on that. And what that means is sitting down to take some time to do that, not just doing it in a hurry. So I can think of some times when either one of us didn't consult and we went ahead and did something. And you mentioned to me something that happened to you early on in your marriage where things weren't consulted on. Could you share that, Kimberly?
Well, this was so many years ago. My husband came home with a pair of speakers, and I didn't know we needed speakers. We already had speakers. And he's like, I got this great deal, and they were only $100. And I was upset because back then it was a lot of money, and I just thought we needed to talk about it. So at that point, I said, can we, you know, next time one of us wants to make a big expensive purchase, can we please talk about it first before doing that? And we made an agreement. Then, and that's what we did from then on, you know.
Thanks for that. I think also that, you know, dealing with finances is definitely something that couples need to consult on.
Mm-hmm.
And we found through trial and error, just like you have, that if we don't consult, we end up being angry or really disgusted about something our partner has done without being consulted about it. So, you know, I think it's really helpful to sit down and talk about these things, get everything out on the table without anybody's, you know, holding your ground ahead of time, but saying, let's look at all the aspects of this situation before we decide. And once we decide, we're deciding together. That way we're creating unity in our family and we're cooperating with each other. And we really respect each other's decisions in that way. So we're looking at those virtues again in that process of consultation.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, wonderful. When children are involved in our families, that is also a part of consultation. You know, how are we going to discipline our kids? How are we going to, what do we think is really important? What are our values in our family? Mm-hmm. And how can we uphold those values?
And can you tell us any more about the strategies? Is there another one you'd like to talk about?
Well, I would, because I think the consultation thing goes right into setting clear boundaries. And I think we've all had situations in our families and our partnerships or marriages where boundaries haven't been very clear about how we're setting boundaries. And that might involve with our children. You know, how do we have boundaries that keep everybody in the family safe? And how do we know that we're all on the same page with something? So I think in a marriage, for instance, with our partners, you know, we can set our own boundaries around keeping our own time for ourselves, for instance, instead of always wanting to do everything together. Now, that's fine if everybody wants to do everything together. But again, you know, if I want my own personal time and all of a sudden my husband wants to be with me all the time, I need to set my boundary around that and say, no, you know, I need my own time. And you can have your own time, too. We don't have to do everything together.
Mm.
I think that, and I'm not suggesting that people do that, but if it works for you, then it needs to be discussed. So if we set our boundaries ahead of time, it helps create a safe and clear environment in our families rather than having, you know, getting upset about things that were never talked about, which I certainly have had that experience too in my lifetime.
Mm.
I know because we grew up in different families, and different families communicate different ways. So we need to come together in deciding what are our boundaries for ourselves and for our children, if we have children.
And there's a couple more. I mean, I know what the five strategies are because you told me beforehand.
Yeah.
Did you want to talk about honoring the spirit or companioning?
I'd love to talk about both of those. And let's take honoring the spirit first. Honoring the spirit is how we appreciate and honor the dignity of each person. And I think we all have that dignity. And so how do we do that with our partner? Well, I think one way is to be respectful of our partner's personality, of the things they're interested in, and to really look at those inner essence qualities that they have, such as patience or kindness or gentleness or caring, and help them bring those out. Now, the other way, there's so many ways we can honor the spirit. I know one of the things that really has kept our marriage alive over the years, especially when we had kids, was to get away by ourselves. And we took weekends away. We were lucky enough to have friends who could take care of our children. And we go for date nights or date afternoons where we actually, just the two of us, and we'd go away and be able to talk with each other, have a good time together, you know, maybe go out for dinner, go for a walk. Being out in nature is certainly a way to honor the spirit, to really decompress from all the stresses of everyday life and have a chance to really communicate deeply. Another way that we love to honor our spirits is to do a virtues pick with a set of virtues cards, which some of our listeners may be familiar with, and you could find them on the website. And that is where each we sit down on Saturday mornings. This is a practice we have and have had for many years. We sit down on Saturday mornings, and each one of us will pull a virtue card and read that out loud. And the other person just listens and doesn't give advice or interrupt or discuss the virtue, but we'll just listen to each other. And, you know, it's a magical practice, because when we're deeply listening and we're being called by those virtues, we find ourselves in a different state of mind after that conversation. And then we can talk about difficult situations with a whole different mindset. It's so helpful to have that time together. And some couples may want to do that with prayers together or inspirational readings or a walk in the woods. I mean, there are lots of ways to do that where we honor each other's spirits and we honor our own spirit.
Mm. And then what about companioning?
Companioning, you know, we're talking about a deep listening skill and art, really. And there's a magic word involved in that. And the magic word is what? Mm. And when I say that, I mean we can ask a question that begins with what, an open-ended question. What was your day like today? And just listen. What are you bothered by? What's happening? What's the hardest part about that? These questions that start with what allow our partner to really open up and open up to us with maybe some of their fears, some of their wishes, their desires, to really hear what's on their mind and on their heart. And it's really a wonderful listening skill and technique. It involves a few other steps, but the main thing is to just be deeply present to our partner. We can do this every day. And some days we can do it, you know, more fully than others. But we want to give our full presence and listen. Because oftentimes, I found that, you know, in our early years, my husband would always want to fix whatever it was that I was talking about, right? And I think a lot of people have that situation. Mm. I've heard that a lot of women say that. And I found it's true with men, too. They don't always want to be fixed. They may tell you, you know, they may give that advice all the time. But when it comes right down to it, they want to be able to talk about the situation without being interrupted. And so, you know, it's so helpful to be able to listen without judgment, without taking on the problem myself. You know, that's not my job to fix it. It's my job just to be a great listener. And I think we have lots of talkers, and sometimes we talk, but it's such a gift to be able to just listen.
Mm. It absolutely is. Anything else that you'd like to say about the five strategies? Did you talk about teachable moments?
I didn't talk about teachable moments, but, you know, that is one of the five strategies, and I've added one in consultation, which really kind of goes along with teachable moments. But it's really looking at our mistakes as opportunities for learning, opportunities for doing something in the light of virtues. So, for instance, if we have not been truthful with our partner, you know, what is the teachable moment? Well, maybe it's that we got ourselves in trouble because we told lies. How are we going to get ourselves out? Maybe it's by being truthful. So it's looking at that. It's also giving us a chance to make amends when we make a mistake instead of, you know, feeling punished or something. It's, you know, how can we make amends? Because forgiveness certainly is a big piece in a long-term marriage or a healthy marriage. You know, we have to forgive ourselves and our partners over the various things that happen during our time together.
Absolutely. And I wanted to know if there's any last things that you wanted to share.
I'd just like to share how people could get more information if they want to. They could go to virtuestraining.com, which is my website. Also, you'd be getting a monthly newsletter called a Virtues Moment. And there's a Virtue of the Week opportunity as well. And all of those are available on the website, virtuestraining.com.
Thank you so much, Betsy. I really appreciate you being here and telling us more about the Virtues Project and the work that you're doing with it.
Thanks so much. And also, I just wanted to mention, be on the lookout for a new course we're developing. My husband and I are developing a course on marriage that's going to be available in February.
Thank you so much. Yes, please check that out and make it a great day, everyone.
Thanks so much.